Right. Well, let's get started tonight with that in mind. We probably could just leave right there, but we'll look and see what it says tonight. If you'll find your place in Genesis chapter number 22, this is exactly what we're going to look at tonight. In the life of Abraham, in the past 2 or 3 months, we've been studying a lot about the life of Abraham. And tonight we're going to see one of the most monumental portions of Scripture in Genesis chapter number 22. And we saw last week, if you weren't here, that you remember that God promised Abraham that He would give him a promise and he would fulfill that promise by himself. And He said, I promise you that you will have great descendants that will become a great nation, that will inherit a great land, and that will bring forth a great Savior. So He gave him this great promise, and the first step to that promise was having a son named Isaac. And we saw last week in Genesis chapter number 21 that Abraham and Sarah finally, after 25 years of waiting, they have their promised son, whose name was Isaac. But I want you to see tonight that God comes right back to Abraham and says, that boy that I gave you, I want him back. So Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, look at what it says. It says, and it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We'll stop there for now. The first thing that I want you to see tonight is in our text is, number one, a prepared servant in verse number one. The Bible says that during this that God did tempt Abraham. God did tempt Abraham. Now the New Testament says God is not tempted with evil, neither can He tempt any man with evil. So the New Testament says that God does not tempt any man, and yet in the Old Testament here it says that God is tempting Abraham. You say, well, what does that mean? Is that contradicting itself? No, this word for tempt right here means to test, means to try, means to prove. And there's two kind of testing that we endure. One comes from God, and the other comes from Satan. Satan tempts us to sin. God tempts us to obey. Satan tempts us to see if we will sin. God tests us and tempts us to see if we will trust and obey Him. So those are the two different kinds of temptations and testings that we go through. And you'll find that God comes to Abraham and He is testing him to see if he will trust him, to see if he will obey him enough to do what he calls him to do. But I also want you to see in verse number one, the Bible says right there, it says, it came to pass after these things. I want you to underline that. It came to pass after these things. You say, what things? You see, this was not the first time that God tested Abraham. Abraham, to be a great man of faith that he was, he had to go through a lot of tests that would test his faith. So from Genesis chapter number 12, he went through a test when God said, leave your country, leave your land, and go to a place that I'll show you. And he could have said, I don't know where I'm going, but he said, I'm going to trust God that He's going to show me. Abraham passed that test. He went through another test in Genesis 12. There came a famine. And God says, you can either stay here and I'll provide for you, or you can go to Egypt and they'll provide for you. Abraham failed the test because he went to Egypt. There came another test 11 years after he had called Abraham. Abraham was 85, 86 years old. And he tested him to see if he would go into Hagar and have a child his own way or continue to wait on God. You know, he failed that test. But he passed the test in Genesis 17 when he circumcised and circumcised his son out of wedlock, which was Ishmael. And he passed all these other tests in Genesis 19, 20, and 21. So this is not the first test that Abraham went through. So it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham again. So Abraham has already been through all these tests before, but now he's coming here and he's being tested again. You say, what was the purpose of the test in Genesis 12, 15, 19, and 20? When I was in college, you start college in about August. You have tests in August, September, October, and November. The purpose of those tests were what? To prepare you for the final test come December. And can I tell you, the test that Abraham went through in Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way up to 20, you know what they were for? To prepare him for the test in Genesis 22. And can I tell you, I don't know if this is good news or bad news for some of us. God takes us through tests to prepare us for the next test. Because as you learn to trust Him right here, you will learn to trust Him up here. You see, you can't trust Him in Genesis 22 until you've learned to trust Him in Genesis 12. And until we learn to trust Him, God just continues to take us through test after test after test, and these tests will prepare us for one day we'll come to our final exam, to where He will see if we will trust Him or not. So that was the point of all these things that came to pass after these things. Abraham had been tested before. Can I tell you, God will never put us through tests that we're not prepared for. Never one time will God put us through tests that we're not prepared for. Some of the things you're going through right now, the reason God is putting you through them is because He's just preparing you for another one that's going to come in maybe a few months or a few years. Like I said, that may be bad news to some of you. But God teaches us to trust Him step by step. And that's exactly what He did in the life of Abraham. He said, you got to trust me in Genesis 12 before I can get you to trust me in Genesis 22. So don't look at Genesis 22 and say, what a great man of faith. You got to look back and see how he became that great man of faith in Genesis 22, because he was tested through all of his life. And you'll find that Abraham is now prepared to go through this test that God is going to give to him. Next thing that I want you to see tonight is a precious sacrifice. Verse number 2 says, God came to Abraham. I imagine one night Abraham was praying, and He comes to Abraham and says, Abraham. Abraham said, behold, here I am. In other words, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'll do whatever you're ready to tell me to do. And he never could have imagined what God was about to tell him to do. Because in verse 2, God says, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. And you can underline that, because that's the first time the word love appears in your Bible. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And I want you to notice that. God said, I want you to take your son whom you love. Can you imagine how much Abraham loved Isaac? Can I tell you, everything Abraham and Sarah did the past 25 years have revolved around Isaac. I can imagine every night before Abraham and Sarah went to bed, they were praying, God, we want a son. God, you promised us a son. So God, we pray for this child. Every single night. And I can imagine they stopped praying sometimes and said, maybe God's not going to do it. Day after day after day, everything they did revolved around thinking about the son God was going to give them. Their prayers revolved around the child that God was going to give them. And finally, last week, God gave them that child. And Isaac's probably now a teenager. Abraham's taught him how to worship God. Abraham's taught him how to hunt and fish. And now God comes up to him and says, hey, Abraham, that son that I gave you, why don't you give him back to me? I want you to notice that with me. God does not come to Abraham and say, I want a lamb. You want to know why? Abraham had thousands of lambs. And he didn't love those lambs as much as he loved Isaac. God didn't come to Abraham and say, give me some gold and some silver on the sacrifice. Why not? Because Abraham had plenty of it and he didn't love it as much as he loved Isaac. God pointed out the one thing in Abraham's life that he loved more than anything else in this world and said, I want him. And can I tell you some of the things that we hold on to and we love more than anything in this world? Those are very often the things God is going to come up one day and say, I know you want to hold on to it, but I want you to give it to me. And can I tell you, would you rather it be in your hands or His? That's right. But we say that. But it's a whole lot harder when God asks us for something to give it to Him. I can't imagine God asking Abraham for this, but God is asking here literally for Abraham, give me the thing in your life that you love most. That you love most, I want it. Because that would prove Abraham's love for God. But I want you to realize this. Every single one of us in here, I pray, are born again Christians. Truly born again Christians. We as truly born again Christians, we don't have a problem giving to God. You had no problem coming to church tonight and giving an hour to God. You have no problem usually once a month giving your tithe to God. You don't have a problem with it. Can I tell you what we do have a problem with? Giving God what matters most. See, it's easy to give certain stuff because we don't love Him as much. But when God asks for that thing that we love more than anything, that's hard to give it up. That is very hard to give up God what we love most. And we could sing the song, I Surrender All. I don't know how many times I've sung the song, I Surrender All, and in the back of my mind I'm thinking, yeah, accept that. Because we want to keep some of it because we love it more than anything. I want you to think about this. Whoever told you that being a follower of Jesus was not ever going to cost us anything, they lied to you. Every single one of you in here knows that. Whoever told you that being a Christian would never cost you anything, they lied to you. Because being a Christian often costs us what means the most to us. Following God is going to cost us things. And now remember now. Are you listening? Say amen. The test was this. Who do you love more? That's what Abraham's test was about. Who or what do you love more? The gift or the giver? And the test comes out to us too. Who do you love more? The things that God gave you or the one who gave it to you? And I can go ahead and answer the question for 99% of us. So often we love the things God gave us more than we love the one who gave it to us. And that is very true. I can go ahead and tell you it's very true for me. We love the things God gives us more than the God who gave them to us. But you'll see tonight, Abraham did not. Abraham realized everything that I have in my life, it came from him anyway. I don't own Isaac. God does. So if he wants him back, it's his possession anyway. If he wants my money, he's the one that gave it to me anyway. If he wants this, if he wants that, everything that I have is his, so he can have it. That is the mindset we need to have as Christians. Literally everything that we have, whether it's our husbands, our wives, our family, our money, our house, our car, he's the one who gave it to us. So when he asked for it, Abraham said, well, you're the one who gave it to me, so I'm going to give it back to you. So who do we love more? Or what do we love more? The gift or the giver? And tonight you'll see that Abraham loved the giver more than he did the gift. And Abraham showed his absolute devotion and love for God when he did this. Not only tonight, a prepared servant, a precious sacrifice, but number three, prompted submission in verse number 3. Look at what it says. Abraham rose up early in the morning. And you need to underline that again. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him to go. I want you to notice that with me. Scripture does not tell us that Abraham spent all night in prayer saying, God, are you sure? He may have, but I don't think so. And I don't think, obviously we find here that Abraham didn't say, all right, God, let me get some things straight first, then I'll do it tomorrow evening. I'll do what you told me to do. No. It says he got up at the earliest possible time and went and did exactly what God told him to do. And you find a principle in verse number 3. When God tells us to do something, you ain't got to pray about it and say, God, are you sure? When God tells us to do something, certainly don't wait around until you do it. Because the longer you wait, the more likely you are to never do it. Can I tell you? Abraham got up at the earliest possible convenience and said, what'd you say? Offer my son? All right, I'll do it as soon as I can. And he got up and he went and did it. When God tells us to do something, don't wait around. Because more than likely, the longer you wait, you ain't going to do it. When God tells you to witness to a coworker that you work with, don't say, God, I'm going to wait till next week. When God tells you to do it right then. Because the longer you wait, you ain't going to do it. When God tells you He wants you to serve in the children's department, He wants you to serve in Sunday school, He wants you to serve in any department in the church, don't say, I'll tell the preacher in 6 months. I'll never forget. I'll never forget the night God burdened my heart that I needed to teach Sunday school. Now, I knew in the back of my mind God was saying, I'm calling you to preach. And I said, just hush for a while. I don't want that. And all of a sudden, that burdened my heart and said, well, maybe just Sunday school for right now. And I remember this like it was yesterday, Brother Danny. I said it out loud. I said, God, I'm not ready to do that. You know what I heard back? I didn't ask you if you was ready. I told you I wanted you to tell the preacher that God has burdened your heart to teach Sunday school. And that was Saturday night, and I had a big old decision to make. Walk down there at the end of the service and say, God has burdened my heart to teach Sunday school, or sit there and say, God, I'm going to just wait till next Sunday. But praise God, I did it that Sunday. Because I don't know if I'd have done it the next Sunday. Because the longer we wait to do what God tells us to do, more than likely, you know it as well as I know it, we ain't going to do it. So when God tells you to do something, get up at the earliest possible time and go do it. But I want you to check this out. This is interesting. Verse 4 says, then on the third day, so he got up that morning, started walking. But he didn't get to Moriah until 3 days later. Think about this. Why in the world didn't God look at Abraham and say, there's a mountain over here about 500 yards off. You can go to it today and do what I called you to do. No. He said, start walking. And I'll tell you when to stop at this mountain. And it took him 3 days to get there. You say, why did God make him do that? To see how committed Abraham was to obeying him. If Abraham wasn't committed, he'd have woke up on day two and said, let's turn around, boys. I don't know about this. If he wasn't committed, he'd have turned around on day one. And he'd have woke up day three and said, nah, I don't think so. But Abraham got to day number 3 and said, God told me to do it. I don't care how long it takes to do it. I'm going to go do it. Can I tell you, we don't have a problem finishing. We don't have a problem starting well. We make commitments all the time to God. We have no problem starting good on Sunday and Monday. By the time Thursday and Friday come, we have a problem following through on our commitment to God. But Abraham wanted to show God, it doesn't matter how long this takes. I'm committed to doing exactly what you called me to do. So tonight I want you to see not only a prepared servant, a precious sacrifice, prompted submission, but a positive surety. Look at verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Think about that, Jerry. He looked at them two boys that was with him and said, y'all stay here. We're going to go worship. And we both coming back. Did you see that? Abraham said, we going, and we both are coming back. If Abraham is offering Isaac as a burnt offering, what a burnt offering was nothing was left. You killed him, you sacrificed him, and you burned him to a crisp. And that was it. Nothing was left except ashes. If he was planning on doing that, there ain't no way Isaac was coming back. And yet Abraham said, we're going up there, and we'll both be back in a few hours. He said, what in the world was going on? That's the kind of certainty Abraham had that they was both coming back. Hebrews 11 gives you a little bit into the mind of Abraham of what he did. Hebrews 11, I think it's verse 19. It says, by faith, when Abraham was tried by God, he offered up his son Isaac, believing that God would raise him from the dead. So Abraham is walking up this mountain, doing exactly what God called him to do. And on the inside of his mind, he's saying, I'm going to kill him, but God's going to raise him. I'm going to sacrifice him, but God's going to raise him. He's going to be dead, but God's going to raise him from the dead. Do you realize what kind of faith it took to go and say that? to literally be willing to kill your son and say, well, God's going to raise him. That's the kind of faith that he had. But not only that, you'll see that in verse 6, in verse 7, Isaac has absolutely no idea what's going on. Abraham didn't tell Isaac before they left, I'm going to sacrifice you because God wanted me to. No, they're on the way up there. He never told Isaac because Isaac has the wood. The father has the fire and a knife. And Isaac looked at Abraham and said, you've got the fire and I've got the wood. Father, we've done this before. We've worshipped God together before. And every time we went to sacrifice, you carried a lamb with you. He said, where's it at? Abraham looked at him and said in verse 8, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Do you see the faith that is in verse number 8? He said, where's the lamb? And can you imagine what Abraham's heart just crumbled on the inside of him when Isaac said, where's the lamb, Dad? And he's thinking, But the faith that he had to say, I don't know, but God's going to provide. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had developed from Genesis 12 to Genesis 22. To say, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm telling you one thing, son. I've seen it before and you're about to see it right now. God will provide. And you'll see at the end of this text, God provided. Now you'll see tonight that verse 8 says, God will provide Himself a lamb. You can underline God will provide Himself because in the New Testament, God provided Himself when He came in His Son Jesus Christ to become the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. But tonight I want you to see that Abraham was absolutely certain God would provide, and if he had to kill him, God would raise him from the dead. He wasn't walking up saying, I don't know if you're going to do this, God. He was walking up saying, God's going to do this. Can I tell you, we've talked about this before. One of the main reasons our prayers don't get answered is because we don't believe God can really answer them. We're in the back of our mind saying, I'm going to tell you this, God, but I really doubt this is going to happen. But can I tell you, when you go to God with an absolute certainty that He said, when you come to me and pray in Jesus' name, I will do it, and you're certain that He'll do it, just watch. He wants us to believe in Him. Not to hope that He's going to do it, but to know that we're just watching to say, I prayed about it. God said that He was going to do it. So let's just watch because He's going to come through. Don't hope. Don't wish. No, because that's what Abraham did. Walking up that mountain, knowing that God was going to come through for him. But not only tonight, the positive surety that Abraham had, but I want you to see the parental submission that Isaac had. The Bible says here in verse number 8, when God said that, when Abraham said that, it said, so they went both of them together. Do you realize Isaac could have looked at his dad and said, Dad, I'm not following through this anymore. This isn't right. God's not going to do anything. We're going to be sitting up there waiting for 12 years for God to provide a lamb. But then verse 9, I want you to think about this. Most people say that Isaac was anywhere, he was a teenager. Most people are almost certain about that. Isaac is now a teenager anywhere from 13 to 19, maybe even 21 years old. That means Abraham was about 115. Verse 9 says, Abraham took Isaac, bound him up, and laid him on the altar. Do you realize what Isaac could have done to his daddy? Daddy, get off me. I'm not doing this. You're 100 years older than me. You cannot overpower me. And he could have threw him off and said, I'm out of here. You just wait till I tell mama. Isaac could have said, I'm not doing this. But he didn't, did he? Why? Because he had learned to trust his daddy too. He had not only learned to trust his daddy, he had learned to trust God just like his daddy did. You see, Abraham was submitted to the Father's will, and Isaac knew that. So he said, because my daddy is submitted to the Father's will, I'm going to submit to His will. Because I know he trusts God, and God has come through for him more than anybody else. I want you to think about that. This whole episode could not have happened without Isaac submitting to his father. You realize that? It would have ended right there to where Isaac walked down the mountain. We'd have never known what happened. it couldn't have happened unless Isaac would have submitted to. Abraham submitted to the father. Isaac was submitting to his father. It took Isaac too. They both had to go together. I want you to think about that. You may know of families. I know of families right now that I can tell you. There's one person in the family who wants to do God's will. The other person in the family says, I'm not in on that. Do you know what happens? The family suffers. Because one person says, I'm not going. There's a man right now whom God has called to preach. And he told his wife, and you know what his wife said? I'm not a preacher's wife. I'm not doing that. She said, you're going to leave your job where you make six figures and go to a job where you might not make any figures for a few years? I'm not in on God's will. Can I tell you something? Wives, if your husband is called by God to do something, support him. Amen. Wives, husbands, if your wife is called by God to do something, support her. Parents, if your child comes up to you and say, God wants me to do this, support them. Because you cannot do God's will. They couldn't unless Isaac submitted to. And a husband can't do God's will without the wife, and the wife can't do God's will without the husband. It takes the family submitting to the Father together. And as long as the father and the husband is under the leadership of God, everybody else should get behind and follow them too. So many families right now are suffering just because one person said, I'm not doing God's will even though you want to. But this couldn't have happened without Isaac. So tonight, I'll give you two more and we'll be done. You'll see a prepared servant, a precious sacrifice, a prompted submission, a positive surety that God would come through. You'll see a parental submission to the father, Abraham. Nextly, you'll see a provided substitute. The whole narrative switches once you get to about verse number 11. I want you to look at verse 10. Verse 9 says that Abraham built an altar, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So he's about to do it, believing God is going to raise him from the dead. Verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse 13 is just amazing. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Hallelujah. And behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead or in the place of his son. There is a provided substitute right here. Abraham laid down his son on some wood. And Abraham took his knife and he had the fire over here ready to burn him. And all of a sudden, can you imagine the agony in Isaac's heart? Saying, this is really about to happen. Not only that, the agony of Abraham. Saying, oh God, please come through for us just one more time. The agony that they were experiencing together. And all of a sudden, as he lifted up his knife, God said, hold on. And he said, turn around. And there was a little lamb just a crying. And he was caught by his head. And there were some thorns around his head. You know what Abraham did? He probably did exactly what he did in that video. Unbound him and gave him a big old hug. And said, son, God came through again. And he went and he said, get up. And he took that ram and he laid him on the altar. And he offered him in the place of his son. There was a provided substitute from God. As Abraham was walking up this side of the mountain, God had already prepared that ram to walk up the other side of the mountain to meet him there. He just had to walk up his side and find that God had already provided while he was up there. But tonight, and my favorite, not only a provided substitute, but a picture of salvation a picture of salvation. One of my professors told me in seminary one thing that I'll never forget. He said, I don't care if you're preaching on the tabernacle in the Old Testament. I don't care if you're preaching on Elijah or Elisha. He said, when you get to the end, you better bring it back to Jesus. Because if it don't have Him, it don't mean nothing. And can I tell you tonight in Genesis chapter number 22, if you miss Jesus, you need to flip the page. Because you missed the whole point of this episode. Can I tell you tonight, Isaac was a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that last week. And here in Genesis chapter number 22, Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here. And Abraham was a picture of the Father. Isaac submitted to his father's will and said, Father, whatever you want me to do, that's exactly what I'll do. The Son of God bowed on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, not my will, but thine be done. And he submitted himself to the Father's will. Can I tell you, Isaac was about to die at the hands of his father. And can I tell you, when you go to Matthew 27, it may look like Jesus was dying at the hands of the Romans, at the hands of the Jews, but the reason Jesus was dying, because the Father was making Him an offering for sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, yet it hath pleased the Father to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief when thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. So when you look at the cross, it may look like the Romans put Him there, the Jews denied Him and put Him there, but it was God the Father who was willing to sacrifice His only begotten Son and kill Him for you and me so that He might become an offering for sin. But what's so good about this narrative is the whole thing changes in verse number 13. Because Isaac is no longer a picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isaac becomes a picture of you. Isaac becomes a picture of me. Because he is laid on this altar. He is bound up. And you know, he was about to die. Can I tell you what, Brother Carl? Every single one of us were bound up in our sin. And we should have been the one who was made an offering for our own sin. We should have been the one who died in our place. Nobody should have stepped forward and died in our place. We were bound up. But can I tell you, when we were bound up in our sin, we were just about ready to die and go to hell. A provided substitute showed up. We were the picture of Isaac. But behind him, that little ram that was caught in some thorns around his head, and if you think that ain't special, you need to read it again. Because our lamb had thorns around his head and they put it on him. And hallelujah, I thank God for the day when God the Father reached down and said, I realize you're bound up, but let me unbind you real quick because somebody showed up to die in your place. Hallelujah. I thank God for the day that I was supposed to die. For the day I was supposed to die for my own sin. But a lamb showed up and said, I'll go instead so that I might go free. Isaac walked out and he was free as could be because that lamb died in his place. Can I tell you, 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist looked and said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And when he died on that cross, it should have been you, it should have been you, and it should have been me. But he said, I'll go instead. And can I tell you, if you've lost your amazement of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't. Because without that, we might as well go home. It should have been us. But can I tell you tonight in Genesis chapter number 22, 4,000 years ago, God had already thought up in His mind, this is what I'm going to do with my son. I want you to imagine this, and I'm done. Imagine the agony that Abraham went through walking up that mountain. Knowing that he was about to take his son and kill him. We don't talk about this often. We talk about the agony that Jesus went through. And oh, what agony he went through. Can you imagine the Father's agony? Seated on his throne in heaven when they nailed him to a cross and the Father had to go, I know you'd need me more than anything right now. And he turned around. He said, I know you need me. But I know a boy who's going to be born in 1993 who needs me more than you need me. I know people all around this world that's going to be born, and they need me more than you need me. And Father turned his back on his only son and said, I sure do love you. But he looked at you and said, but I sure do love you. And he turned around because he thought about you and he thought about me. 1 John says, how great the Father's love for us. How great the Father's love for us. Because he took his only son and nailed him to a cross so that you and I might go free. And can I tell you tonight, if there's one person that's worthy of praise, it's him. It's him. Don't ever stop praising. I don't know what we're going through. I don't know what you're going through. But there is one person who every minute and every breath that we have is worthy of praise, and that's him. So let's praise him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. God, thank you for the precious sacrifice that you gave that you and I might, that we might have life today. God, we just thank you so much, and I pray that you'll never help our minds and our hearts to remember the sacrifice that was given 2,000 years ago so that we might go free. But God, we think about all those people that have driven by our church tonight that are still bound up and they've never come to Christ. Father, I pray that we'll be able to show your love to them so that they might receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. Father, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for Jesus who lives on the inside of our hearts. So tonight, God, we just give you praise. We just lift our hands and say thank you. Because God, you're worthy tonight, and we love you. Oh God, how deep you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.